there is a second act awaiting.
Welcome to the Better Each Day podcast radio show with Bruce Hilliard. Today and every day, reaching out for innovative ideas in every way. Today's show is brought to you by Your Future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Better Each Day podcast radio show. Today, I'll be talking with speaker, author, and baby boomer career coach, John Tarnoff. His new book, Boomer Reinvention, How to Create Your Dream Career Over 50, looks to be at least inspired partially by your being fired, 39% of your jobs over a span of 40 years in the entertainment industry. John, give us some background on yourself.
Well, first of all, Bruce, thanks for having me on your show. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the book and about the boomer dilemma. And I come to this, as you mentioned, from a long career in the entertainment industry as a film studio executive, primarily here in Los Angeles, with a kind of a sabbatical for about 5 or 10 years in the tech industry in the 90s during the bubble. And what I kind of came to realize in the wake of the 2008-2009 recession was that kind of the standard operating procedure that we go by in the entertainment business, which is basically a state of volatility and impermanence as kind of baked into the business culture, that instability as a result of the digital revolution was really permeating through pretty much every other industry. And I don't know if you've seen these charts that kind of predict the way that the digital disruption is going to affect every industry, kind of swirling out from the core center of music and publishing, which seemed to be the first canaries in the coal mine to be upended by digital.
Yeah.
But we're experiencing this kind of instability and disruption throughout most sectors now. And I think the reason why boomers feel particularly hard hit is that, number one, we weren't raised to understand or believe that this was the way business worked. We felt that when we got a good education, that would kind of entitle us to a 40-year career. And if we kept our nose clean and flew straight and narrow, that we'd get to retire at the end of that. And that just hasn't turned out. So I think that's one aspect of it, and then the other aspect is that it just kind of upends our sense of what the compact was between the company and the individual. And this idea that we had this arrangement, and that it's gone. It's really pretty much gone. So in the wake of that, my book is about, what do we do if we have to take responsibility for our own survival and figure out a way to push past this period of transition where we're kind of being downsized out of jobs in our 50s and people are giving us this blank look like, aren't you supposed to just go away? Isn't there some village that you're supposed to go to now that and kind of get out of here? It's a real issue.
So how did you come up with 5 steps and 23 strategies?
Well, the 5 steps really, I mean, as you know from my background, I had this, I kind of hit this wall in my own career at around age 50. And I had, I'd been in the movie business and then I kind of gone off, as I said, into technology. And when 2001 hit and the bubble burst in technology and all these companies went out of business and kind of swept the whole sector away, including the startup that I had been working on with a partner for the previous 5-6 years. And I realized that I just didn't know what I was going to do. And, money was running out and I wasn't up for the same kinds of jobs that I had been doing in the movie industry previously. And I wasn't up for them in the sense that I wasn't being considered for them, because in a way I had lost touch with those networks and had not really kept currency in that area. And I wasn't up for it in the sense that I really wasn't that interested in pursuing those same kinds of jobs. So I went back to school. I decided to earn a master's degree in counseling psychology. And the theory was not necessarily that I was going to become a psychologist, but that I would learn some skills that would help me both understand myself better and understand how to better navigate in the career environment. And I was just going to give it a shot and see what happened. And fortunately, almost miraculously, through some networking opportunities and through a different take on my conception of what my career was going to be or how I was presenting myself, I wound up back in the industry working for DreamWorks Animation for most of the 2000s. And my role there was it was very different. I was much more focused on education and training and leadership initiatives there, which was really in keeping with the work that I had done in my psychology program. And out of that grew this set of five steps, really based a lot on my own experience of being fired so many times and having to come back and be nimble and adaptable and really take responsibility for my own next steps. And that's really where it comes out of. And it's a fairly common sense approach, I think, to making this kind of transition in your career and in your life.
You're not alone on that. There's a staggering number. There are almost 75 million boomers in the United States. How important are they to the economy of the country?
Well, you know, we're a huge part of the economy. We are the richest sector of the economy. We're a huge driver of commerce. So, and that's not going to go away really anytime soon, because we're seeing that the younger generations are having a harder time, accessing the kinds of wealth drivers that we were able to access in our own lives. The economy was a very different engine then.
Why is it critical that boomers reinvent themselves?
I think the reality of the economy is that we've undersaved for retirement. We have more expenses that are enduring longer than previous generations. Many of us, up to 10 million of us, by some statistics in this generation, are sandwiched between older millennial kids who are having their own issues launching into the new economy and older parents who are surviving longer, who are taking up some precious healthcare resources, and we find ourselves being caregivers to our parents as well as caregivers to our children much, much longer than we anticipated. So we need to keep working to support all of these aspects of our family life. And that, coupled with the low retirement savings rates, inflation, a flatter return on investment. This old 4% rule that we were brought up with doesn't really apply anymore. The virtue of 401k plans is, I would say, finally being called into question as not being really in the best interest of the account holder. It's really has been in the best interest of the financial service provider, who made a tremendous amount of money off of churning us through our accounts. So we really need to figure out how we're going to stay working, certainly beyond age 65. I would say, in many cases, and health willing, 75 is really the new 65. It's really the new retirement age goal that we want to set.
So in light of that, in your book, you lean toward entrepreneurship. Aren't most folks afraid of doing that?
Well, you know, this is a common reaction that I get when I talk about entrepreneurship, or at the very least, a more entrepreneurial attitude. And when I was writing the book, I would kind of get into these heated conversations at dinner parties with people about this. And people would say, you can't teach entrepreneurship. This is something that's innate. You're either born with it or you're not.
It's genetic. Yeah, I've heard that.
Right? And I don't know that I necessarily agree with it. I think that, yes, I think to a certain extent, there are some people who are more gregarious and more outwardly focused, and there are people who are shyer and more reserved. But I think it really comes down to what is it that you're selling here. And I think if you can figure out something that you want to do that you feel completely 150% comfortable and excited and enthusiastic about doing, really charged up when you get up in the morning because you can't wait to get at it, then you don't have to sell, right? You don't have to kind of force yourself to lay out this value proposition that you are offering to a employer or a client. And you know, we also have to face the fact that the whole world, the whole economy is becoming more entrepreneurial, and that by some estimates, somewhere between 40 and 50% of all work going forward in the next 10, 20 years is going to be freelance work.
That's believable.
It also, I think, fits our lifestyle better to put us much more in control of our day, where we decide what it is that we're going to do. And by this time in our career, I believe that we should have a better sense of what we know, what our experience can lead us to do, what kind of value we can provide to an employer or to a client. And it just doesn't make any sense anymore to me that we be clocking in on the old 9-to-5 and having to follow the directives of people who probably have less experience than we do, probably know a good deal less than we do. So I think it's time to upgrade, right? To bootstrap ourselves into this next level, and call it what you will, whether it's freelance or entrepreneurship or entrepreneurial thinking. The bottom line is that for anyone waking up and going out to work in today's economy, you want to think of yourself as a consultant providing a value to a client versus an employee taking directions from the boss.
Support for Better Each Day comes from BruceHilliardHomes.com. For a better day in buying or selling a home, search BruceHilliardHomes.com or visit our website, Better Each Day, for more information. And while you're there, subscribe to the show. It's free. That's BruceHilliardHomes.com, Windermere Real Estate. And make it better each day.
In your book, you wrote about this kind of the flip side of it, boomers making better employees. As a coach, how have you observed, what led to that conclusion, I guess?
Well, I think we make better workers because a lot of, whether we're employees or consultants, contractors, I mean, regardless of whether you get a W-2 at the end of the year or a 1099 at the end of the year, we're more settled. We have a better sense of who we are, what we can do. Are all of the life challenges, well, not all of life challenges, but a good deal of the life challenges, certainly the ones that are bedeviling younger workers, questions of identity and relationship and family and, you know, all of this stuff that we went through when we were building our careers in our 20s and 30s and 40s, it's behind us now. You know, we've kind of figured it out to whatever extent we've figured it out. We've made a certain amount of peace, or at least hopefully we've made a certain amount of peace. And this, and there are many studies that support this notion, the idea that we are more stable, we are at work because we want to be at work, we know why we're there, and we are more mature, we are, you know, more interested in doing the job for the job's sake. There's much less that's interfering with our ability to get that job done.
Getting to the gist of the problem is one of the things you mentioned. Some companies are offering phased retirement plans. What is a phased retirement plan, and is it a good move?
So I think this is a really great solution. So a phased retirement is a 1-2 year or longer period of time where the employee phases out of their job, as opposed to hitting the retirement age or whatever that event is at 63, 65, whatever it is, And you know, they hand you the proverbial gold watch, although I don't know how many people are getting gold watches these days.
I doubt it.
And just kind of shoving you out onto the street. The idea is that you stay with the company in a part-time capacity, and you get shifted over into areas which are really needed: knowledge transfer, succession planning, mentoring, and really providing, you know, a village elder kind of value to the company, which can really lead to some very valuable contributions. And while you're part-time, you're, you know, figuring out what you're going to do when you're fully out of the company. So it gives you a buffer and a transition period to maintain your connection both financially and emotionally to the place you've likely worked for many, many years and all the people that have worked there with you. You're changing your role. You're preparing to exit. You're figuring out what you're going to do on the other side of it. It's really a bridge to the new life. So I think it makes a lot of sense.
You mentioned the use of social media, in particular LinkedIn. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Well, in the whole career reinvention process, we have to realize that if we've been in a company for the last 10, 20 or more years, everything has changed on the outside. And you no longer get a job by revising and typing up your resume and sending out your resume to 50 different companies with 50 different cover letters. The average recruiter is overwhelmed by resumes because we live in this electronic era, and massive numbers of applicants apply to every job. So the likelihood of your resume and cover letter being lost in the shuffle is extremely high. And statistically, about 85% of all jobs are filled through referrals. So your strategy should be to find a way to be referred to the job. And that goes to the question of network, and that goes to the question of LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn is this for, you know, fortunately we have it. I don't know what we'd do without it. We'd have to create it because we need some kind of business-oriented online marketplace on a very high end where we can both propose this value proposition, this narrative of who we are. It has become more than an online resume. It really has become an online personal branding engine for us to establish who we are, to establish our uniqueness, to get above the noise, as they say, and really figure out what makes you different from all the other people who have similar backgrounds to yours. And at the end of the day, you want to develop relationships with people who get you, who are focused in the same area. You want to find your tribe on LinkedIn, and your tribe is what's going to get you the job. You're going to be, the phone is going to ring and someone's going to say, hey, I was given your name by so-and-so because he told me you were phenomenal and I should talk to you about this open position that we have.
So I finished the book a couple days ago. It's very readable, very well done. What's the one thing that the reader should walk away with?
Well, I think the one thing that I would say is that you can do this, right? This is meant to be a very encouraging book. And my whole point of view is very much of a can-do attitude. A lot of people are very discouraged at this point. They feel like they've been running on this mouse wheel for many, many years, and they just don't know what to do. They're just done. They're tired. They're tapped out. And I'm going to be talking with a new client on the phone later today about this. And you know, he's very, very much in this situation of just not really knowing what to do and feeling very discouraged. And frankly, the signals out there are not encouraging to us. There's a lot of dismissal of older workers. And one guy I talked to, actually a woman that I talked to who had been fired from her job, her husband had recently been fired from his job in their late 50s. And a friend of theirs who was an HR exec just very coldly said to the husband at one point, oh, how old are you? You're 58. Oh, you're done. simple as that. I mean, how cruel and terrible is that to hear that from
the
someone
worst.
Who's supposedly an HR executive who is there to nurture talent? So the system is really broken. And I'm here to tell you that you can deal with the system in your own way. You can circumvent the negative messaging. You can look inside yourself for the job that is already in there that you really want to do, that you can do, that you can network your way to do. And if you're willing to be adaptable and reconcile past issues and past hurts and, you know, bridges that you may have burned or wrongs that were done to you, and you're really willing to adopt a beginner's mind and forge a new path for yourself, there is a second act awaiting.
On a fun note, I read that your favorite rock band is The Who.
My favorite bands, but The Who just always really spoke to me in terms of this this attitude. And I guess Won't Get Fooled Again was one of those songs that just, you know, really, really stuck out.
Well, it sounds like the kids are all right
course,
in your book
of
here.
Of course, the kids are all right, of course. Yeah. The title of my TEDx talk and my generation. You know, we're all still talking about my generation.
Well, very good. Thanks for your time, John. Boomer Reinvention, How to Create Your Dream Job Over 50 by John Tarnoff. It's a great book. I recommend it. Thank you so much for your time. You take
Thanks,
care.
All right. Pleasure.
Support for Better Each Day comes from BruceHilliardHomes.com. For a better day in buying or selling a home, search BruceHilliardHomes.com. Or visit our website, Better Each Day, for more information. And while you're there, subscribe to the show. It's free. That's BruceHilliardHomes.com, Windermere Real Estate. And make it better each day.
But until then, honor the future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
We're all just trying to make the next day a bit better.